From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Idaho made national news again last week when a Fox News host and the conservative media outlet Breitbart News both said the state was teaching elementary school students about pornography. The national news headlines were based on an article by the Idaho Freedom Foundation. It says the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare purchased sex education courses from a group that, quote, advocates for teaching elementary students about porn literacy, unquote. Kevin Richard is a senior reporter and blogger at Idaho Ed News, and he's been following this story. And Kevin's joining us today to talk more about this. Kevin, good to have you back on the program.
Hi, Gemma. How are you?
I'm good. So, Kevin, let's start at the beginning of this. First off, for people who may not be aware, who and what is the Idaho Freedom Foundation? And then what was this article about?
Well, the Idaho Freedom Foundation is no stranger to anybody who follows Idaho politics. They're a far right-wing group, lobbying group, think tank, however you want to describe them. About a week ago, the Freedom Foundation put out an article claiming that the State Department of Health and Welfare is implementing this sex education curriculum that offers and promotes porn literacy, that basically puts kids in front of pornography or tries to normalize pornography. Very quickly, the Health and Welfare Department came out and said, that's not what the curriculum does. It's not part of the curriculum. We offer this optional curriculum to schools. Several other reporters have fact-checked the porn literacy aspect of this story and have found that there's no tangible connection here, that there's no connection between the curriculum that we're talking about and and porn literacy. So it's been, but like you say, it's been a very, very viral story the past few days, and Fox News in particular pretty much took Freedom Foundation's claims at face value.
And Kevin, I know you mentioned Idaho Health and Welfare, that as soon as this came out, you know, they came out with a statement saying this wasn't happening. But according to the Idaho Freedom Foundation, Idaho Health and Welfare did buy sex education materials from a nonprofit. It's called Education, Training, and Research, or ETR. So what is ETR?
ETR is a vendor, and you say, you know, like you said, Education, Training, and Research Associates. They have they provide this curriculum to states, but again, and I'll go back to another reporter's work here, Daniel Walters with the Inlander, which is an alternative newspaper in Spokane. He reached out to ETR and asked, "Is there anything to this? Are you offering, porn literacy as part of your curriculum?" And they said, absolutely not. So, like I said, it is a story that has really taken on sort of this national life of its own.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin, so I guess another question would be, so does Idaho Health and Welfare offer this sex education curriculum to Idaho schools?
Here's where you really need to walk through and understand how sex education works in Idaho. The Department of Health and Welfare does offer curriculum to schools. But you have to remember, schools do not have to offer sex education at all. It is up to the district to decide whether to offer sex education in the first place. And then it is up to the school district, it's up to the school trustees to decide whether what kind of curriculum to use. And whatever curriculum you use, if you offer sex education, has to comply, has to align with the state's academic standards on sex education, which are part of the state's health standards. So there's a whole lot that has to go on here before you could have any kind of curriculum that could remotely be described as porn literacy friendly. You'd have to have a district decide to offer sex education and for some reason decide to offer a curriculum, whether it's been you know, wherever they got it from, they would have to decide to offer a curriculum that had this offensive, you know, porn-friendly content to it. And that district, you know, those trustees would then obviously have to answer for that decision at the local level. I mean, there's just a whole lot that happens here before this could even conceivably occur.
So bottom line is this, Kevin. Yes, health and welfare, if I'm understanding you correctly, does offer sex education curriculum to Idaho school districts. It's up to the school districts what they want to teach and if they want to offer any type of sex education.
Right. And on top of all of that, sex education is optional at the parent level. A parent can opt a child out of any kind of sex education just by saying so. I mean, and that's, and as I wrote in my piece today, that's not going to change anytime soon. If anything, you may see the legislature become even more restrictive on that policy. I mean, we've had sex ed opt-in bills that would require direct parental consent for sex ed. We had a bill like that pass the House a couple of years ago. It died in a Senate committee on a very narrow vote. It wouldn't surprise me to see that kind of legislation come back in future years. I mean, sex ed is a very optional undertaking in Idaho education. I mean, you know, it's optional for parents, it's optional for the schools. Curriculum is completely up to the local school district. So the bottom line for me in all of this, Gemma, is the Freedom Foundation put out this narrative that suggested that state government is implementing, imposing, directing a curriculum on schools. And that's just not how curriculum works in the state on any topic, not just sex ed. It doesn't apply that way in English or science or history. Curriculum is all set at the local level. Textbooks are chosen at the local level with a view towards the state standards. So, you know, to me, maybe the biggest thing about this narrative is this idea of this heavy-handed state government telling schools what they're going to teach. Just doesn't work that way, whether we're talking about sex ed or anything else.
So, Kevin, as you mentioned, you wrote an article about this controversy today. And if you want to read it, it's at IdahoEdNews.com. What kind of things are you hearing after Idaho made national news once again in regards to this accusation?
Well, I think it's kind of, you know, you started this interview asking me about the Freedom Foundation, just a primer on the Freedom Foundation. This feels a little bit like rinse and repeat at the local level here with Freedom Foundation. This is a pretty bombastic claim coming from this organization. You've seen the denial coming from Health and Welfare. You've seen, you know, media reports challenging, debunking whole pieces of the Freedom Foundation's argument. I mean, my piece looked at one aspect of it. Other reporters looked at other aspects. And what you've seen, you know, in terms of backlash, in terms of reaction on the local level, on the social media level, is critics of the Freedom Foundation saying, "Well, there they go again. You know, they're making stuff up. They're lying." And the Freedom Foundation saying, "Well, you know, the media reports are dishonest. The media is lying about what we've said." They've kind of doubled down on the idea that, you know, this is happening, and that the state is now backing away from posting these links to this content on their website. So it feels like it feels like kind of the outrage of the moment. We've been down this road before, and you know, we'll probably be down this road again on some other topic in some other venue, probably in the very near future, for all we know.
And in your article, Kevin, I mean, you lay out how sex education actually works in the state of Idaho per school district. And one thing that you mentioned earlier in this segment is this opt-in or opt-out idea. And I know just, in my experience, you can opt your child out. But as you mentioned a couple of years back, it got fairly, far through the legislature where you would then have to actually opt your child in. So saying, yes, I want them to take this. And if you don't do that, then they can't take it. And the right. likelihood is we're going, as you said, we're going to see something like that again. But even when sex education is offered, it, you still have the option as a parent to opt your child out, correct?
Right. It, the opt out, whether it's opt out or opt in, it's consistent with what the state law says about sex education. I'll just read the sentence of the state law that I cited in my story today. The decision, you know, this is a parental decision, and it's also a local school district decision. So you know, again, the idea that this is a mandated sex ed program at the state level, it's just fictional. It's just not the reality mm-hmm. of the situation.
So, Kevin, though, let's play the devil's advocate here for a minute, because there are some topics on the ETR website that I think some parents, some caregivers might be concerned about, or at least give them pause. And there are things on there in regards to pornography and abortion. So first, can you clarify that? But then also, I mean, this could potentially be fueling the fire over this controversy when we do see these topics on this website.
Well, and I think part of the confusion in all of this, the confusion in what ETR is offering, and again, I'm going to cite another reporter because this is reporting that Daniel Walters at the Inlander in Spokane had last week. ETR's material on pornography, on questions and answers that kids may have about pornography. They have a program mm-hmm. called 3 and 30. This is a training session, a training program. It's not for kids, it's for adults. And it's for teachers or caregivers or parents to help them figure out how to answer kids' questions about pornography. So I think some of the confusion here is, what are these programs and who are they geared towards? I mean, is it something that would be in a classroom, or is it a training program that's available to adults? Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you wrote that the Freedom Foundation can't say how many school districts have adopted this curriculum. So, Kevin, do we know if any school districts are actually using this ETR curriculum in the classroom?
We don't. And that, to me, was the most important and kind of damning thing about the Freedom Foundation's own research, is that they said, well, we don't know. Well, yeah, that didn't stop the Freedom Foundation from coming out with this narrative and getting it picked up, having it wind up getting picked up by national media. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, I think that's the most significant thing, that their initial article about this, you know, porn literacy friendly curriculum, that to me is the most important fact here.
So, Kevin, what happens now? Because there are a lot of people, I think, on both sides of this issue who are upset. You know, some people saying, like, look, this isn't happening, or we don't know where it's happening. And other people, you know, believing this misinformation, saying, you know, pornography is being taught in Idaho schools.
Yeah, I don't know where the debate goes from here and how it affects policy. Like I said, you know, we've talked about it, the opt-in kind of legislation. It would not surprise me if you saw that come back in future legislative sessions. Like I said, the bill that we saw a couple of years ago passed the House on a party line vote. So it passed pretty overwhelmingly. It almost passed a Senate Education Committee. Senate, I think, is going to be considerably more conservative than it was in 2021. So I think that may be one manifestation of this controversy. You might see more of an attention on opt-in sex ed.
Before I let you go, I want to switch gears for just a minute, since I've got you here, and let's talk about election day. It's about 7 weeks away, and you recently wrote an analysis about Idaho legislative races, because we might be seeing a shakeup in our legislature this year.
Definitely going to see a shakeup. We're going to have at least 42 members of the legislature who are brand new, just from what we've seen with retirements and what we saw with that primary, with 20 incumbent Republicans losing in May. So we're already going to have a lot of turnover. We will not probably see the same level of turnover in November, but I think you've got several races in several legislative districts that are going to be really interesting. District 15, which is a district in West Boise, which has been kind of a battleground district. It's had a split delegation for the past several years. I think that's going to be a battleground district again. The Senate race in District 15, Cody Galloway is a member of the House. She's a more conservative House member. She won the primary. Betsy Russell from the Idaho Press reported last week that the guy she beat in the primary, Senator Fred Martin, is endorsing Rick Just, the Democrat who's running against Galloway. Just was somebody who ran against Martin a couple of years ago. Martin won that race. Really interesting race. And I think you're going to have some interesting races in the Moscow area, in Blaine County. Magic Valley district is kind of a swing district. Pocatello has kind of a swing district. And why does all this matter, Gemma? It matters because we know the Senate's going to be more conservative. Several conservative challengers won Senate seats in the May primary, and now they're either unopposed or they face, kind of maybe more token opposition in the general election. We know the Senate's going to be more conservative. We just don't know how much more conservative. We don't know how conservative leadership in the Senate is going to be, because those leadership positions, those are chosen through a caucus election. So who winds up in that Senate Republican caucus could determine who are casting those votes in leadership election, who winds up in Senate leadership, making the committee assignments in, education, in budget, in the budget committee. Those key committees that we watch so closely, not a lot of competitive races in the legislature in November, but enough to make it a really potentially a really significant election.
Mm-hmm. As always, Kevin, thank you for being here and talking with us about all of this. We've been talking with senior reporter and blogger Kevin Richert with Idaho Ed News. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Gemma.